Well, it's good to be back this evening. It's good to see each and every one of you. I feel like we've got pretty much almost everybody back from the looks of it. I know our number is a little bit off there from this morning, but it's still really good, and I appreciate that. It means a lot, and I guarantee the Lord appreciates it because He's who we're here to worship. Again, I'm so thankful for this opportunity, and I want to make the most of it. And tonight, I have a lesson prepared that I hope will be beneficial to you. You know, Jesus is the master teacher. If Jesus could preach a lesson or do a parable or teach something, and it could convert many souls or move people to be better, to want to serve Him and to want to live their lives better, then I think that's the lessons I want to teach too. And tonight I want to go to one of the most famous parables, one of the most well-known stories of the Scripture, but I want you to see it in a whole new way. I want you to leave here moved. I want you to be revived. I want you to say, I want to go out with zeal, and I want to do something. And I hope the lesson tonight will do that. I want to talk about the soil of O'Neill, or the country way of saying that I'll say, the soil of O'Neill. Okay? I'm not going to pronounce that I as good every time, so I'm going ahead and letting you know. The soil of O'Neill. That'll work in Alabama anyway, right? And the idea is that there's four types of ground that the seed can fall on, and we're going to read about that. And in this building tonight, we've got one, two, three, four. If you broke it off, we've got four things. And it's not to suggest each one's representation of four different people. But the idea is that you've got one seed that's going to fall on this ground, or the seed's going to fall on this type of ground, this type, and we're going to break that down throughout the lesson. So I hope you'll go back to that and remember it to give you an idea. I want to first read the parable. And I want you to turn and read with me. I imagine you've read this 100 times, if not more. But I want you to read it tonight, and I want you to examine. If you'll give me 30 minutes and you'll examine it with me, I think we can do something to our lives. Turn with me. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 8. We have Matthew's account and Luke's account, which they're synoptic gospels here, okay? So they're telling the same story in their own eyes. Just like if you got me and Guy together, and we had been at a ball game, and we watched it, and then later you said, what happened? And Guy told you his story, and I told you. It's the same ball game, the same story, through his point of view and through mine. Now here's Luke's account of this story. I'm in Luke 8. I'm going to start at verse 4 and read through verse 15. And when much people were gathered together. Now I want to stop you right there. If you go to Matthew's account, it says a great multitude. I imagine there was a lot of people gathered around. So Jesus is talking to a lot of people, Tommy. Not just one or two. He's got a crowd. When you've got a crowd, what do you want to do? You want to give your best stuff. So He's about to give His best stuff. And He's the master teacher. So here we are again, verse 4. Many people were gathered together and were come to Him from every city. So He's got people from everywhere. And He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and the other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now notice what happens in verse 9. And his disciples, now who is this? His disciples, not just an ordinary person, ask him, what does this mean? What does this parable mean? In verse 10, Jesus goes on to explain, and this is where we make application. And he said to you, it is given to the other mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. So tonight, this is the seed. This is what we're planting in our hearts and our minds and our conscience. This is the seed, the Word of God. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God, and those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the Word out of the hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's the first one we're going to talk about. Second one. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. There's number two. Number three, verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And now number four, verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So tonight I want to look at the soul of O'Neill and see what type of ground you have here. Now the only way we can do this is to get a real soil sample is if you're honest. That's the only way. Maybe if you're a farmer. I met a few farmers today and got to talk to them a little more extensively after services. Maybe you just grow a garden in your yard. I'm going to bet half of you in here have done that before, if not, are still doing it. You know something about soil. And the seed only grows in good soil. And that's what we're going to look at. Now this picture is going to be small, but that illustrates our four types. The rocky ground, the thorns, the wayside, and the good ground. And again, just another chart, I don't think that's as important, but I want us to think about it like this. I went out in 2016 and bought 75 acres. And when I bought it, it was nothing but grown up trees. Not even good trees. We're talking about 20, 25 year old trees, not really worth the timber. You could barely walk through it. And my dad said, you need to buy that because it connects to you. And then he would say that about any land that connects to that too, guys. So essentially I'd have to buy it all. But the idea is this. When I bought it, I wanted livestock on it. Would you want to put livestock on yours? Yeah, I know you would, because we've been talked about it. So guess what I had to do? I'd hire somebody with a track hoe. I'd hire somebody with a dozer and clean it off. And then you've got to disc the ground. And after I disc the ground, you've got to fertilize. You've got to plant grass seed. And then you've got to hope you get some good rain and let it develop. And then you've got to do it again and spray it for weeds. It's an ongoing process, but here's why I'm telling you that. When I bought it, you couldn't put an animal on it because it was grown up with trees. Now it's smooth ground. It's not perfect yet, but it's getting to be better ground. I also have a neighbor who had a beautiful hayfield. Tommy, you want to get sick, listen to this story. I'm talking about beautiful hayfield. Off the road, you could go out there and sit in a lawn chair and say, this is the most beautiful pasture on earth. And he's let it go for about 20 years now. And what do you think it looks like? It looks like what I bought when I bought it. Just grown up and just set there. Now, if you're a forester, you love trees. I'm not harping on trees. But as a livestock farmer, you want that good hayfield, that clean ground. He just let it go. So everybody in this audience, here's my application here. Tonight, you're a piece of ground. And that word is the seed. And when that seed gets your heart, something's going to happen. You're either going to be this first type of ground, the second, the third, or the fourth, and we're about to find out in the next 15 minutes. But whichever type of ground you are, I want you to really listen. You don't have to hire somebody with a track hoe or a dozer to come in there and clean that off. You can go home tonight. You can come forward tonight and be baptized in Christ, and you can have every sin you've ever committed washed away. That's a promise from God. And Jesus' sacrifice made that possible. And you can start off with a beautiful piece of ground. And that word can grow in your heart. That seed can be planted in your heart. And you can turn into a different person. You can turn from your old sin and live a new life. And I guarantee you there's some of those faithful in this audience that say, that was me. When I was younger, I was not a Christian. I wasn't faithful. But the last several years of my life I have been. They've completely turned it around. Or you can be in this audience tonight worshiping God and be the most faithful one here. And in 2 years, you won't set foot in the building and could have fallen away and be living in sin. Just as much sin as you can take part in. So let's ask tonight what type of soul we have at O'Neill. And let's look at these 4 points real briefly. And I want you to answer, which one are you? Because in this audience, we're probably going to have at least 3 or 4. If not all 4. If you're a first-time visitor or you haven't been coming along, you could be the first one. But the majority of our audience is going to be number 2, number 3, or number 4. So let's look together and evaluate what type of soul we have here. The first one is the type of soul is the wayside. The wayside. Look at the passage we just read from Luke 8. If you will, just hold that because we're going to be going back and forth to it all night. In Luke 8 here, starting in verse 12. Now remember, the seed is the Word of God. So you've been coming to church, you've been hearing the Word of God. You know what Romans 10:17 says? So faith comes by hearing. Hearing the Word of God. You can't develop a faith in something you never heard of. If I came in here tonight and told you about magic jelly beans, and if you eat them, they'll give you the best. You'd say, well, where'd I get them at? You've got to hear about them first. If you never heard, and they're not real, so don't ask me where to get them. The idea is you've got to hear. So I've heard the Word of God. Now here's that first type, the wayside. Look at verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Does this represent you and your growth and development since hearing the word of God? Is this how the word of God in your heart have mixed? This is like coming on a Sunday night. Maybe you're visiting tonight, and you've never really studied. You've been going to church, but you've never studied your Bible. You just go to church. And somebody tells you you need to be baptized for your sin, and you say, I need to be baptized? I don't know nothing about baptism. Are you sure? And they say, yeah, and they show you 10 passages that show that. And you go home, and the first thing that happens is somebody else says, you don't have to be baptized. And just like that, that conviction you had for just a minute, that thought you had for just a minute that maybe I need to be baptized, or maybe I need to repent of my sins, or maybe I don't need to keep gambling. Maybe I need to give gambling up. They're saying that there's some sinful things to gamble. Maybe, oh, it's okay. And then just as immediately as you start to make a change, it happens. I've seen that. You know who that is in the garden world? Some of you's going to raise your hand. This is the ones in February and March say, this year we're planting a garden. And we're going to grow some homemade green beans. And we're going to grow some turnip greens. We're going to grow some watermelon, some cantaloupe. And in March, you're still gung-ho about it. And in April, we're still... And then in May, it's planting season. You get out there and it's about 90 degrees. And you're disking up the field. And you're planting watermelons. And you start thinking, man, I can just go to Walmart and buy a watermelon for $5. What am I doing? And just like that, that dream of having that real nice garden in the backyard turns into some dirt that you disc up in May, and then the rest of the year you just let it go. And by July, it looks like the rest of the yard. You give up just like that. Now, is that anybody in this audience? I'm going to say, for the majority of the people here, that is the least type of ground at O'Neill. You know why? Because those are the people that are not here tonight. Those are the people that heard the Word of God and it never took root in their heart to do anything to move them. If that's you and it's your first time and you're starting to hear the Word of God, let it take root. Second one, what about the rocky soil? You ever seen ground like that? One time I was working at the stockyard when I was in college and I was on my way to work and I saw a sign that said land for sale. And it was like 80 acres for $80,000. I thought $1,000 an acre, that's cheap. I don't care where that's cheap. And I asked God, I said, what about that land? It's 80. He said, have you ever heard of land that just holds the earth together? He said, that's what type of land it is. He said, it's the roughest, cliffiest, most bluffs, terrible land you've ever seen in your life. And I thought, still, $1,000. And then when I seen it, I said, I understand. There's absolutely nothing you can do with this. When you try to plant and grow a hayfield on gravel, it just don't work. Cows can't live off gravel, can they? If they could, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we? But you got to have grass. And a Christian can't live without a good spiritual diet. Meaning, that Word of God has to be nourished. I hear the Word of God, I become a Christian, it's not over. Matt Taylor's son recently was baptized. I hear there was a young girl that was recently baptized. I know these are young Christians that have just been baptized. Is it over? Are they ready? If they left this earth, they'd be ready. But are they good for life? Is it over? No. They've just become Christians. So what's next? Well, they've got to be watered. They've got to be fertilized. They've got to continue to grow and develop. Because they, me, you can fall away. They can be like this second type of ground. Any of us can. In Luke 8, look at verse 6. Luke 8, look at verse 6. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, go to verse 13 as he explains this here. Jesus explains it. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. Did you hear what it said? In a time of temptation fall away. She was 14. Now listen to this. She obeyed the gospel. Listen to me here. She was coming to services every time. She turned 16. She got her driver's license. Started dating a boy that wasn't a Christian. Wanted to take part in some things that weren't Christian-like. Wanted to live a lie. Well, when she was 14, she was here every service. And now she's 18 and she'll never come. You ever seen that before, guy? That's what this type of soul is. He was a young man. He obeyed the gospel. He started getting older. He wanted to make a living, wanted a job. I do too. So he started doing everything he could to just make looks from here and there. And eventually he was so wrapped up and so busy, he couldn't find a time to make the services anymore. Back in 2016, out of all the people I baptized at Piney Grove, all were between 15 and 20 years old. I looked at this the other day in a notebook I've got. Only one are still coming to church with us. The rest of them have all fallen away. This is a popular type of ground. You can't go out there and just look around and find land that has been taken care of everywhere. It takes time and effort and nutrition, and it's the same way spiritually. You can't become a Christian and just walk out the doors and it's happily ever after. And I don't mean that to say that once you become a Christian that it's impossible to get to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you've got to do something after that. It's not over. Does this describe the way the Word of God is mixed with your heart? You obeyed the gospel, you were baptized in Christ, you started growing as a Christian just as you should, but then your faith just withered away. Like our yards look like right now. Where all spring and summer it rained and rained and rained, and people were like, all right, I've had enough rain. But then it just turns off for about 5 weeks where it don't rain, and everything just withers up and dies. It looks so good for 4 or 5 months. Man, we're doing good. And then just like that, the water shuts off. Man, I've never seen that young man. We had a young man at Piney Grove that I was preaching at a different church. He came forward and was baptized. 4 years later, I did his wedding. He married a young lady from that same congregation. They came with us for 3 or 4 years, and just a few weeks ago, he wasn't there. Then he wasn't there. And then he wasn't there. And I'm sad to say that he's gone. And I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but he's gone. He's made some decisions that right now he would have to do a lot to fix. And if you would have asked me in January when he had just done his second invitation, if that man, I would have said he's as on fire and growing as good as any young man I've seen, and now he's gone. It can happen just like that. So what I'm trying to say with the soul of Athens, the soul of O'Neill, is don't take for granted what you've got. That hayfield one day was beautiful. 20 years later, time gets by. It's grown up. It's a deciduous forest. But you know you can take that same deciduous forest and put some work and time into it and make it a beautiful hayfield. You can take any heart in this audience that wants to be a Christian and God can clean it. God can cleanse any sin. Are you this type of soul? When the Word of God hits your heart, did you believe and you were zealous and you were faithful, and then all of a sudden it just started withering away? What about the third one? Now I want to suggest to you, now really listen here because I'm going out on a limb. This is the most popular type of ground. Not the first one where there's no root at all. Not the second one where it's rocky, and not the fourth one, which is the one we want to be, the good ground. This is the most popular. This is it. If you say, what's the most common type of ground, Jeff? This is it, and I feel certain about it. In Luke 8, at verse 7, when Jesus is telling the parable, he says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And then he explains it down in verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they had heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Let me tell you who this is. This is the woman who's been going to church for 42 years. She's got 4 boys. 3 have obeyed the gospel. But she meets a man at work. And he's a lot kinder to her than her husband is after 20-something years of marriage. And he's a lot more flirtatious, and he just makes her feel valuable. Something she hadn't felt in a while at home with 4 boys and her husband of 20-something years. So she takes up with him. And she commits adultery and divorces her husband and marries this man who's been married several times before. For 42 years, she drug herself with headaches and pain to that building. She saw 3 of her sons obey the gospel. And just one day, something took over. If you've ever grew a garden, if that don't make sense, nothing will. You can have my dad and I have grown watermelons for years. He more than I. And we went out to that patch and looked at them one day, Tommy, and they were the most beautiful watermelon vines you'd ever seen in your life. And you go back a week later, and you can't see them because the briars are this tall and they've covered them up. Even after hoeing for months and cleaning them patches out, just like that, them briars get up in there. And that's what happens spiritually. I know that we're most disheartened when it happens to somebody we've seen faithful for years and we've got all confidence in them. And just like that, they start going to a denominational church. They start, I don't know if I need to be baptized. I don't know if we can't just do this in our worship. If we can't just add some things to worship. We need to be modern. We need to add to our worship. This is old school. This is boring. The kids are... God doesn't change and His Word doesn't change, and nor should our worship to God. We should do just what He wants and nothing more, nothing less. But you understand, it can happen to the best of us. Just like a garden. These pictures illustrate it so well. This garden at one time might have been perfect, but look at it now. All it is weeds. And let me tell you how this really sneaks up. This is the person that's going to church for 50 years. They don't miss a service, or for the most part. They study their Bible. They love their family, their children, their brethren. But they've got so many things going when it comes to their pleasures, their entertainments, their job, the kids' schooling, the ball games. There's so much going that spiritual things just get sucked out of them. They ain't missed a high school football game in 10 years because they've got kids that have come up, and each year the kids played ball, were in the band, were involved, they wanted to go see their friends. They ain't missed a ball game. They ain't missed a PTO meeting. They would do a fundraiser in a heartbeat, but as soon as you say, I need you to do the Bible reading for the month of July, they say, I don't have time. I need you to make the Lord's Supper this month. Well, I just don't know if I've got time. We need somebody to teach the kids. Well, you can get somebody better than me. And the truth is I don't have time or I don't want to. I've got more things going. And the whole idea is it happens to good people. These aren't people who don't love the Lord. This is what happens to the church today. This is the biggest problem in the church today. Is this life, like we talked about this morning, this life's got so much to offer that sometimes we let it be like weeds in a garden. We allow the weeds to take over our life until God is choked and strangled out of our life. The best thing I can think of in Scripture to describe this is when Jesus was born. They were looking for a place for Jesus to be born. And what was said? There was no room for Him in the inn. You remember that? There's no room for Jesus in. Well, let me tell you, there's no room for Jesus in the Christian's life today. Because they've got to go to school, they've got to go to work, they've got to go to here. We're so busy, so consumed, that even though we love God, His Word is getting choked out. And everything else is getting our best energy. It's getting our first fruits. It's getting our time. And there's no growth in church. Why don't we have 10 Bible class teachers? But those same men and women that could be teaching Bible class are school teachers. Have jobs where they have to speak in front of people. Have jobs where they have to do research. But at church, I just can't do it. My kid had perfect attendance. We didn't make a Bible class one. And it's just an illustration to say, we've got to give God our best, or it's going to happen to us. It can happen before we realize it. And another thing, our kids are watching. Your children are watching. And if God's choked out of your life, He's going to be choked out of theirs most likely too. Is that the type of soul at O'Neill? Do you have a lot here that love God and they want to serve God, but they love so many other things in this world that they're being choked out? Look at that verse one more time. Look at verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, okay, so they've heard the Word of God. That's the first step. And then notice what He says. They go forth and are choked in cares with riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Boy, we've had a many of gardens that if you could have picked them a month early would have been the best gardens you ever had. But that next month, when the varmints started getting in them, the animals, the drought came, didn't get enough rain, and the weeds got in there. If we could just wouldn't have had that, it would have been a great garden. The same with so many people that could have been Christians. Does this describe the way that the Word is mixed with your heart at O'Neill? You obeyed, you were faithful, you were growing, attending services, studying, sharing His Word, looking and fruitful in all ways. That's going to be a fine young Bible class teacher. She's going to be a fine young Christian. But then the weeds of life, the cares of the world, your jobs, friends, bad fortune, problems with your health came. They came into your life and they weighed out your faith. They choked out your faith. This is the story of the soul of the majority, I really believe. Many of you have been in church their whole life and they're blind to the thorns, choking out the best Christian they could be. The best they could be. Is that the soul that you have here at O'Neill? Or finally, this is what we're looking for. This is it. Now that picture looks good, don't it? Good fresh watermelon, that corn, the apples. That's it. We bring the fruit to perfection. Well, that's the fourth ground. Look with me again at Luke 8, at verse 8 and then verse 15. And the other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And then you go down to verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They finish their course. They have patience to wait on the Lord and to not give in and let their faith be overthrown. They stay faithful unto death. What about you? You know, I say this, and I don't know it, but I feel like I know it. At Piney Grove, if we would have had every person that has just the ones who have become Christians, not the ones who have visited or have heard the word, but just the ones that have obeyed the gospel, we would have to rebuild our building twice because we'd have so many people. And I'm pretty sure at O'Neill would be the same way. You'd have to build this building five times probably, guy. But you know what? Just like the ground outside that I talked about. This is the ground. It's you and I. How is that seed working in your heart? How's it mixing? What you've got to do is you've got to sometimes start over. You've got to take and you've got to disc it up. You've got to plant the grass seed. You've got to water it. You've got to fertilize it. That's your heart. First thing you've got to do is repent of your sins. You've got to turn away having godly sorrow. Why godly sorrow? Because that's the sorrow that's going to lead to true repentance. And then after you repent, you've got to start engaging yourself in more Bible studies, either in the home, with other people, hanging around more people that have faith like you to sharpen you. You've got to get rid of some of those things in your life that are tempting you, that are causing you to put God second. Sometimes it takes sacrifice. You've got to make changes if you want to bring fruit. My dad is a great example. He can grow the most beautiful watermelons. He's won at the Watermelon Festival for years, best tasting. He'll enter one in a couple names, my mom's and his, and he always will get either first, second, or third every year. Every year he wins. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't even have to call him in the summer. I can wake up, and if it's daylight, he's over at the garden, and he's got his hoe, and he's working in that garden. He's diligent. He's committed. Because he wants to see that fruit. He don't want to start and not let it finish. And as a Christian, if you want to get to heaven, that's how we've got to be. That doesn't mean we'll never sin. That doesn't mean that we'll never make mistakes. But we've got to be all in. There's a difference in being involved or committed. We can't just be involved in the church at O'Neill. I go to church at O'Neill. Well, I'm involved with the church, but I'm not committed to the church at O'Neill. Meaning, if they're going to be there every Sunday and Wednesday, you can't really count on me. But if you're talking about just going there once in a while, I'm there. If you're talking about in the directory, if they need somebody to lead singing, to lead prayer, to wait on the Lord's table, to teach the children, to clean up around the building, to send out flyers, to help visit somebody who's sick, I'm not sure I'm the one. I'm involved, but I'm not. Are you that person that no matter what's asked to do or what's need done, you've already thought about it and you're willing to help? You've already done it. And when you go home, outside of the church here, you're inviting people. You're studying your Bible. You're praying to God. You're trying to be the best. That's the type it takes. That's what happens. They showed the record watermelon this year that was grown. It was just a monster. Hundreds of pounds. And the guy, they said, how'd you get to it? He said, I fertilized it twice a day. Triple 13. I watered that thing every day. We put a tin up around it so the sun could only hit it a certain... They babied that thing to death. Now, this is not an edible watermelon, by the way. But they did everything they could to get it that big. What if we did that to the Word of God in our heart, and we nourished it, and we cared for it, and it was that important to us? Just think what type of fruit we could bring to perfection. Just think what the church at O'Neill would be. What type of soul do you have at O'Neill? What type of soul do you have here? In conclusion, we need to ask that question. There's four types. The soul that hears the word but never brings any fruit, never obeys the gospel. The soul that hears the word and obeys and just a year or two later they're done. Or the soul that they were Christians for years, but they just never could fully give themselves over to God. They just had so much in their life that was more important to them, they couldn't put God first. Or the soul that said, God is first. Jesus was asked, what's the first and great commandment? What's the most important thing? And he gave the best answer he could give because his answer included every possible sin. If you do this, you can't sin. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. If you do that, you will not sin. And how did he answer that with one way? I don't know. But he was that powerful of a teacher. And this is the parable he told to this multitude of people from every city that I've just shared with you tonight. And it's still applicable today here at O'Neill. Which type of soul are we seeing here? I didn't change my Piney Grove font to O'Neill there. But we're at O'Neill tonight, not Piney Grove. Which type of soul are we seeing? Now I want to conclude just like I started. I bought that 75 acres and I had a vision. It cost me some money. And you know what that is called? Sacrifice. And a tax write-off guy. So I had him come in with that track hole and that dozer, and I told him what I wanted done. And it's not perfect yet, but it sure looks better than it did when I bought it for livestock. And my neighbor's hayfield sure looks, every day I drive out the four-wheeler, I try not to look because it just breaks my heart. That one day he's going to call and want to sell it to me, and I'm going to say, if you would have just bush hogged it over the years, how much money you would have saved me. How much time you would have saved me. And that's you tonight. If you have been a Christian your whole life and your ground is looking good, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't start letting the weeds and the thorns and the people around you cause you to stumble and let the seed be choked out in your life. Let God reign and rule in your life. And if for some reason tonight you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel and you say, boy, the soul I've got is terrible. I've never let the seed work in my heart. I've never obeyed. Or I've let it get in there, but I'm that rocky ground and I've just never developed as a Christian. We can change that tonight. If man can create tractors and machines that can go out and clean trees into fresh ground, God can do much more with His power. He can cleanse your heart from sin. He can make you as white as snow. But you know what you've got to do? You've got to make that decision. Which type of ground do we have here at O'Neill? Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we sing a song in our songbooks, Why Not Now? Guy told me a story. He's told it to me 3 times over the years. He was preaching one time, and a young man came up to him, and I use your stories because I'm here, guy, right? And the parents told him after services their son had talked about obeying the gospel. He didn't make it to the next day, did he, guy? He was killed in a car wreck that night. Now, we're not trying to put hypothetical stories on you to try to scare you in obeying the gospel. What we're trying to do is let you know that it's the most important decision of your life. It's an urgent matter at any time. And if you're a Christian, it's just as urgent to stay faithful and not to let the Word be choked out. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, why not tonight? Why not now? Somebody had mentioned to me earlier about the water temperature. I'm going to tell you something. I baptized a woman one time, I think it was Christmas Day. Never had met her in my life, but they called and said, she want to be baptized? Could they use her building? Would I baptize her? She was about 70 years old. We didn't have a heater in our baptistry, room. We went up there, and I tell you what, I about froze to death. I don't know how she survived it. But you know what? Every time I baptize somebody in that cold water up there, we don't think about the temperature of that water. We think about a soul being added to the kingdom of the Lord. Why not tonight? If you're the soul that's not been serving God faithfully, clean it up. Be that good ground. If we can assist you in any way we can, why don't you come sing a song?